Welcome to Minghui Radio's Falun Gong News, direct from China and around the world. Topics include news about the persecution of Falun Gong in China, local events, and special items of interest. Now for this week's stories.
New York, USA. The nation's largest Veterans Day parade took place in New York City on November 11th. More than 20,000 participants from nearly 300 groups took part in the city's 105th Veterans Day commemoration. The march in Manhattan proceeded from 25th Street to 47th Street, a route known as America's Most Patriotic Mile. Among the participants were veterans groups, military units, military bands, floats, vintage military vehicles, and groups that support veterans. Residents and tourists from around the world were happy to give service members and veterans the special recognition. Falun Dafa practitioners have participated in the parade for 20 years, and the group was the parade's grand finale this year. Their entourage included the Tian Guo Marching Band, a Falun Dafa float, lotus dance, flag, waist drum, and exercise teams, as well as an LED lighted vehicle. A Chinese man who watched the parade commented, "I know Falun Dafa is wonderful, and I hope more people will practice." Another spectator was heard saying, "This world will become a better place if more people practice Falun Dafa."
Japan. The 31st Daidogi World Cup Street Performance Festival was held in Shizuoka City from November 1st through November 4th. 51 groups and 90 performers from 9 countries performed during this event. It was the largest street performance festival and competition in Asia. About 1.5 million people attend the event every year. Falun Dafa practitioners distributed informational flyers and set up banners near the Daidogi World Cup venue, outside of Sumpu Castle Park. They introduced the benefits of practicing Falun Dafa and told people about the CCP's 25-year-long persecution. Many people encouraged practitioners to keep up their efforts to share the truth. On November 8th, Mr. Gong Jingjun stood in front of the Japanese House of Representatives Hall beside informative banners and called upon Japan's political leaders to help rescue his mother, a Falun Gong practitioner illegally imprisoned in China. He urged the Japanese government to contact the CCP via diplomatic channels and demand both her immediate release and that of all other illegally detained practitioners. Japanese passers-by expressed their support.
Sweden. The Art of Jen Shan Ren International Exhibition was presented by Falun Dafa practitioners at the Gothenburg Book Fair from September 26th through the 29th. Practitioners shared the stories behind each of the artworks with exhibition visitors. The book fair is one of the largest cultural events in the Nordic countries, and this was the event's 40th anniversary. It drew 777 exhibitors and 93,660 visitors. The artworks deeply moved one woman and prompted her to want to learn more about Falun Dafa. She purchased the introductory text, Falun Gong, and the main book of the practice, Juan Falun. Since there is no practice site where she lives, she was pleased to learn that she could also learn the exercises online via a webinar. A young woman was very touched by the art and surprised that she had never heard about the persecution before. She said she would tell her family and friends about the brutality when she returned to her hometown.
California, USA. Falun Dafa practitioners participated in the 104th Annual Veterans Day Parade in the city of San Francisco on November 10th. Their performance was enthusiastically praised by both the host and spectators. Marching bands and flag teams representing the U.S. Navy, Army, and Air Force joined the event. Thousands of people were present for the festivities. The U.S. Western Tianguo Marching Band, exercise demo, and waist drum teams received a glowing introduction from the parade host, who called the practitioners' performance superb. Parade spectators and military veterans repeatedly praised Falun Dafa's values of truthfulness, compassion, forbearance, and expressed appreciation for practitioners' participation in the event.
Western Australia. Practitioners introduced Falun Dafa during the Rotary Karini Community Fair in the suburbs of Perth on November 3rd. They also provided a traditional waist drum performance, a Vietnamese bamboo hat dance, and a Chinese dragon dance. Local residents praised Falun Dafa's principles of truthfulness, compassion, and forbearance. Some learned the exercises during the event. Many people signed a petition calling for a stop to the CCP's persecution of Falun Dafa. People from nearby booths also stopped by and commended practitioners' efforts to raise awareness of the persecution in China. Fair visitor Lee Purdy signed the petition to support ending the persecution. She said she hopes practitioners in China continue their cultivation practice despite the Chinese government's suppression.
India. Practitioners from the city of Nagpur hosted a series of Falun Dafa workshops at 15 schools in the area. Over the 3 months of the festival season, from August to October, thousands of students and faculty attended the introductory workshops and said they enjoyed them. Many of the attendees expressed appreciation for Falun Dafa's core values of truthfulness, compassion, and forbearance. They said that the principles helped them stay focused and calm, relieve their stress, and improve their mental and physical health. A sixth grader attending a workshop commented, "I felt very different after doing the exercises. As soon as the music reached my ears, my thoughts were silenced. I felt very much relaxed." Another participant, a 10th grade student, shared, "I used to experience severe back pain when I sat, but after doing the exercises, the pain is gone. I want to know more about Falun Dafa."
France. Falun Dafa practitioners held an Information Day event in the center of the southern French city of Montpellier on November 5th. They demonstrated the 5 sets of Falun Dafa exercises to tourists and passersby, exposed the decades-long persecution of the practice, and collected signatures on a petition to help stop the communist regime's forced organ harvesting from living practitioners. Throughout the afternoon, 386 people signed a petition demanding that the CCP immediately stop the persecution. Some people were puzzled that such a major humanitarian disaster was rarely mentioned in the media. One woman encouraged practitioners to spread this information more vigorously on social media. College students Lena and Sophia not only signed the petition, but also took several Stop Organ Harvesting brochures. They said they would collect signatures from their families on a petition initiated by the organizations Doctors Against Forced Organ Harvesting, an international coalition to end transplant abuse in China.
Australia. Falun Dafa practitioners from throughout Australia peacefully rallied in front of the Federal Parliament House in Canberra from November 4th through November 7th. They held a signature drive and peacefully requested that the Australian House of Representatives pass a legislative amendment to help stop the CCP's live organ harvesting. Practitioners held a press conference on November 6th. Both practitioners and Australian human rights lawyers spoke against the murder for organs taking place in China and elaborated on the importance of Australia's federal government adopting the relevant legislation to prevent more Australians from inadvertently being involved in the illegal organ trafficking, the Australian Senate passed the Migration Amendment, Overseas Organ Transplant Disclosure and Other Measures Bill 2023 in August 2024. This bill requires travelers into Australia to disclose on the incoming passenger card whether they received an organ transplant overseas in the last 5 years. They will also need to disclose which country, state, and locality they received the transplant in, and the name of the medical facility where the operation took place. The bill has been proposed to the Australian House of Representatives for further debate. If passed, the bill will be put into action.
Mexico. Practitioners introduced Falindafa during the 2024 Tlaxcala Fair Parade on October 25th. They handed out informative leaflets, demonstrated the exercises, and called for an end to the persecution in China. Practitioners carried banners that said, Falindafa in Mexico and Truthfulness, Compassion, Forbearance during the parade. The practitioners' waist drum, fairy, and dragon dance teams took part in the festivities. Practitioners also displayed portraits of practitioners who died from the CCP's persecution as a show of respect. The day after the parade, practitioners gathered in Tlaxcala for a group Falindafa study and experience sharing session. Some people gratefully traveled from distant cities to participate.
Israel. Falindafa practitioners held an informational event at the Ramat Gan National Park on Saturday, October 26th. Their exercise demonstration drew many passers-by, and some people learned the exercises on the spot. Practitioners also exposed the CCP's persecution of the practice in China. Practitioners presented a children's workshop centered around the lotus as a symbol for cultivation, and read the children's book, The Lotus Story. The story, authored by Falindafa practitioners, showed children the benefits of living according to the values of truthfulness, compassion, and forbearance. A demonstration of classical Chinese dance also took place. Children were especially drawn to this, as they were encouraged to put on a variety of costumes. Practitioners explained that with this dance style, the dancer's inner self is just as important as the technical elements of precision, flexibility, and rhythm. The practitioner in charge of teaching dance commented, "The kids enthusiastically said that this was a wonderful experience." The following are selected cases of persecution of Falun Gong practitioners in China. Miss Gu, a 66-year-old resident of Jilin Province, was arrested in April 2023 after being reported for exposing the Chinese Communist Party's persecution of Falun Gong. While the arresting officers from the police station soon released her on bail, they still submitted her case to the local procuratorate. A prosecutor visited Miss Gu not long after and informed her that she had been indicted. She went into hiding to avoid being taken back into custody, but later when she returned home, she was arrested. Miss Gu was admitted to the Jilin Province Women's Prison. In order to deal with her, a captain moved an inmate who practiced martial arts to her cell block. The inmate frequently beat Miss Gu. The torture did not stop even after she became incontinent. Inmates in nearby cells could hear the abusers yelling at her every day. Miss Gu died on October 1, 2023. The guards carried her body away in the middle of the night to try to cover up their crimes.
Dr. Zhao Yigong ran his own clinic and was known locally as a quality doctor who charged low fees. He had many patients. Yet the local police shut down his clinic in December 2003 for his faith in Falun Gong. Besides the financial persecution, Dr. Zhao was also repeatedly arrested and given 4 forced labor camp terms. The endless persecution took a toll on Dr. Zhao's health, which rapidly declined around 2019. Thanks to his wife, Ms. Liang's tender care, he gradually got better. However, his health went downhill again after the police stationed people outside his home to monitor him in March of this year. The arrest of his wife in June was the final straw. Though she was soon released, Dr. Zhao never recovered from the trauma. He passed away around October 4th. The couple's son, Mr. Zhao Yingyan, was also targeted for practicing Falun Gong. He was arrested in November 2003 and later sentenced to 10 years in prison.
Retired teacher Ms. Yang Huirong of Hebei Province faced multiple arrests, detention, and constant harassment for upholding her faith in Falun Gong. Unable to bear the pressure of the persecution, Ms. Yang's husband divorced her. Ms. Yang wasn't the only one in her family that had been targeted for practicing Falun Gong after the Chinese Communist regime ordered the persecution in 1999. Her eldest daughter was also arrested in 2001 and 2002 and coerced to denounce her own mother and other Falun Gong practitioners. The young woman later suffered a mental breakdown as a result and fell to her death in 2003. Following the last time Ms. Yang was released from prison, she still faced constant harassment. Two people would often follow her when she went out. Succumbing to the mental pressure, she became blind in 2015 and also lost the ability to stand or walk. Even after she became bedridden, the police and residential committee staffers still came to harass her on a regular basis, taking her photo, recording her voice, and videotaping her. She passed away on September 4th, 2024.
After Ms. Li Shujian barely survived a 9-year hellish prison term for her faith in Falun Gong, the Shenyang city resident continued to face nonstop police harassment. She was dealt another blow when the local Social Security Bureau suspended her pension in 2020, a year after her husband's cancer diagnosis. While serving time at a woman's prison, she was tortured, deprived of sleep, and forced to work more than 10 hours a day without pay. She was so weak that she couldn't walk on her own and often needed support from others. After her latest release for the next few months, the local police and community workers continued to harass Ms. Li, forced her to remove the satellite dish she used to receive uncensored TV programs from overseas media. She also found herself being followed when she went out. By then, she had already been struggling with failing health and had difficulty walking. Her husband's death in 2022 deeply affected her. She suffered from severe medical conditions and became bedridden. She passed away 2 years later in October 2024.
After the Chinese Communist regime began to persecute Falun Gong in July 1999, Ms. Liu Chenyu, a family doctor, was repeatedly arrested and detained for raising awareness about the persecution. She was first arrested in 2001 for putting up posters about Falun Gong and held at the Dalian forced labor camp for several months. The authorities released her after she developed a medical condition in custody. Ms. Liu was arrested again in September 2015 for filing a criminal complaint against Jiang Zemin, the former head of the communist regime who ordered the persecution. By the time of Ms. Liu's latest release on medical parole in mid-July 2024, she had been forced to pay 50,000 yuan for the medical treatment she received at the prison hospital. She stayed with her younger daughter and was forced to report her whereabouts twice a day and show up in person at the local justice bureau once a month. Her condition kept declining due to the ongoing pressure and surveillance. She passed away on October 6th.
call for legislation targeting the end of CCP persecutions at home and abroad. The UK Falun Dafa Association in London presented a parliamentary forum on November 5th titled Falun Gong, China's Forced Organ Harvesting and Its Impact on the UK. It focused on the CCP's persecution of Falun Gong at home and abroad. The forum was hosted by Lord Alton of Liverpool, who is the co-founder and vice chair of the All-Party Parliamentary Group on International Freedom of Religion or Belief. Falun Gong practitioners shared their personal experiences and exposed the CCP's forced organ harvesting, transnational surveillance, and harassment. The politicians, barristers, and human rights experts in attendance proposed limiting cooperation with the Chinese medical community, promoting due diligence and legislative supervision, and other measures to increase the international community's attention to the CCP's human rights issues. The participants agreed that the UK should take a more active stance to defend human rights and the rule of law. Caroline, a representative of the Falun Dafa Association of the United Kingdom, pointed out in her speech that in the first 9 months of 2024, more than 5,000 Falun Gong practitioners had been persecuted. She also detailed some of the transnational persecution of practitioners that had taken place in the UK. Lord Alton of Liverpool said that thanks to the unremitting efforts of some members of Parliament, changes have been made to British law to ban commercial organ tourism to countries such as China. Lord Alton also pointed out that Falun Gong practitioners are not only persecuted in China, but also suppressed and attacked by the CCP around the world, including through the spread of false information, economic pressure, interference with media and activities supporting Falun Gong, and even through threats to the Shenyang performances. He said that last year the Intelligence and Security Committee of Parliament released a report which exposed the CCP's infiltration and threats in the UK. He stressed that now more than ever, the government needs to firmly oppose the CCP's bullying and propaganda tactics, as well as stand in opposition to the CCP's human rights atrocities. He called on the British government to work with allies to protect basic human rights, support freedom of all religions and political beliefs, and oppose the CCP's threats to global stability. Eleanor Stevenson is a lawyer specializing in international criminal law and human rights law and an expert advisor to the International Coalition to End Transplant Abuse in China. She pointed out that the Western medical community has facilitated the illegal organ trade to some extent, such as by training Chinese doctors, providing drugs and equipment and the like. These actions can be regarded as aiding and abetting the crime. She said, under international law, anyone who provides substantial assistance, encouragement, or support for the crime will be considered an accomplice. Willful blindness to ignore these facts is not a valid defense. International human rights lawyer Dr. David Mattis made a series of recommendations for how the UK should respond to China's organ transplant abuse, including expanding the scope of prosecution to bring organ transplant-related crimes to justice, requiring medical professionals to make mandatory reports, limiting insurance coverage for illegal transplant tourism, implementing entry and exit controls to prevent entry of people involved in illegal transplants, and strengthening supply chain supervision to ensure that the supply chain does not involve illegal transplants. He also suggested economic sanctions against those involved, revoking diplomatic immunity, and using the undesirable person strategy to ban relevant people from entering the country. In addition, he called for an end to cooperation with China in medical training and academic exchanges to isolate its medical community. At the international level, Dr. Mattis suggested that the UK exert pressure through the UN Human Rights Council and Security Council to promote the involvement of the International Criminal Court and use the UN General Assembly to criticize China's human rights issues. He said that by increasing the political cost of the CCP internationally and making the forced organ harvesting not worth the cost, this human rights violation can be gradually reduced.
Persecution of Falun Gong exposed at the International Police Organization meeting in Scotland, UK. The 92nd General Assembly of the International Criminal Police Organization, Interpol, took place in the city of Glasgow from November 4th through the 7th. Over 1,000 representatives from 195 member countries attended the meeting of the organization's supreme governing body. The gathering took place at the Scottish Event Campus. Falun Gong practitioners were invited to speak during the International Criminal Law Forum on November 5th. The theme was transnational repression against overseas Chinese by the CCP and its misuse of Interpol's red notice system for political purposes. Interpol is an international organization that facilitates worldwide police cooperation and crime control. It utilizes what is known as red notices to alert police worldwide about internationally wanted fugitives. It is a request to provisionally arrest a person pending extradition, surrender, or similar legal action, and is based on an arrest warrant or court order issued by the representing country. This forum was organized by the UK headquarters of the China Democratic Party, Sino-Euro Voices, and China Watch. More than 20 people spoke during the forum, including two leading barristers from the UK. Experts and scholars, along with groups and individuals suppressed by the CCP. Barristers Mr. Riaz Davies and Mr. Ben Keith, along with Interpol expert Mr. Ted Bromond, all stated in the forum that the CCP abuses the Interpol's red notice system to target Chinese citizens in the most cunning and secretive way. President of the Sino-Euro Voices and former president of the Writers for Peace Committee, Ms. Tianqi Martin Liao, pointed out that the CCP has been violating Interpol's policies by carrying out human trafficking, sexual assaults, corruption, and other acts. She called on the leading barristers and Interpol to modify the rules to better address this issue. During the forum, it was pointed out that Falun Gong practitioners are victims of the CCP abuse of the red notice system. An example was cited of a Swedish citizen named Li Jihui, a Falun Gong practitioner who took a business trip in 2018 and was detained in Poland because of a red notice. It took 2 years for his extradition hearing to conclude, during which time Li was detained most of the time. Although the Polish government declined the CCP's extradition request, Li could not return to Sweden because the red notice was still in effect. Rosemary Byfield from the Falun Dafa Association in the UK attended the forum and stated that the CCP has issued multiple red notices against Falun Gong practitioners. She added that the CCP agents have carried out physical attacks against Falun Gong practitioners across continents, including in the UK. One example cited was an attack that occurred outside the British Museum in 2018, which caused a 56-year-old Chinese female practitioner to sustain a spinal fracture. Ms. Byfield provided the assemblage background information of what Falun Gong is. She pointed out that because the CCP is against traditional values, It targeted Falun Gong practitioners for their traditional belief in truthfulness, compassion, forbearance. Inside China, a large number of practitioners are closely monitored and arrested arbitrarily, followed by forced labor, torture, rape, brainwashing, and even forced organ harvesting. Outside China, the CCP spreads false information and defamatory propaganda against Falun Gong practitioners. Other types of harassment include monitoring, cyber attacks, diplomatic pressure, threats, personal attacks, and attempts to extradite Falun Gong practitioners back to China. Ms. Byfield also provided information about the investigative findings of the China Tribunal. The 2018 effort was chaired by Sir Geoffrey Nice and included 12 months of investigations into the crime of forced organ harvesting from prisoners of conscience in communist China. Hundreds of thousands of people, mostly Falun Gong practitioners, are estimated to have become victims of the state-sanctioned organ harvesting. The tribunal concluded that the CCP has committed crimes against humanity in the Falun Gong and Uyghur populations.
Thank you for listening to the Minghui Radio Podcast. For more information, including news about the persecution of Falun Gong practitioners in China and experience sharing stories by practitioners around the world, please visit our website at en.minghui.org.